Danger.
All range mode.
How's it going, everybody? This is the All Range Mode Podcast, Season 1, Episode 8. My name is Joe. How are you doing?
What's up, you fucking Sklarls?
To my right, I've got Mr. Chad Salivria.
It's Sklarls!
And Chad's right, we've got Mr. Dog LaPointe.
Give me Sklarls.
Hello there! So, how's it going, guys? We're running off the steam of a pretty successful episode, we think. Episode 7, if you had a chance to listen to it, we appreciate it.
Was it on iTunes? I couldn't see it on iTunes.
It will be.
It will be. Oh,
it's not on iTunes?
I don't know. It hasn't shown up yet.
It might be on iTunes.
It could be right now. Check
it's
it
on
out.
The website. Fuck it. It's on the website. It's on orangemode.ca.
It's on our website, available for streaming and download. So.
Hear about it. Be about it. Know about it.
That's right. So on today's episode, we're kind of just hanging out. We're going to talk about kind of how the week went. Talk about some movies, talk about some games, and you know how it goes. So, what's going on?
We're going to talk about some Legos. And
oh, yeah.
I've said it last week, I've said it this week. If anyone's been listening to the past couple episodes, you've been able to see my love grow for these things. And today, I finally went to a Lego store. It was at the mall in Michigan. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Every Lego I've been Googling on the internet, just looking at all the pictures, they had the models built. It was fantastic, priced well. I joined the VIP program. I'm hooked. I love that company. I love that brand. I love those products.
Congratulations.
Amazing. I bought a Gandalf keychain.
Get up!
Oh. Good day for me at the Lego store.
That keychain is awesome. I want that fucking thing so bad.
They have every keychain. Han Solo, Luke Skywalker.
Hey, did you buy the Gandalf and Frodo and Hobbiton, that Lego set? Did you do that last week?
The horse carrot feed.
I was super close to buying the horse carrot feed today. No, last week I bought the Star Wars droid escape set.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, not even last week. 3 days ago. That was 3 days ago.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because last episode, we talked about how I bought the TIE Fighter.
So we actually went on an excursion. Chad was using Kijiji? Craigslist?
Craigslist.
He's using Craigslist to buy a guitar. So we took an excursion into the States. Had a pretty good time. And the overrunning joke was us interrupting staff. Excuse me, do you have any Star Wars Original Trilogy themed Lego display cases for us, please?
Wow.
Hi, I noticed you're an employee of the furniture section. Do you have any limited edition old trilogy Star Wars Lego display cases, please?
Yeah.
Those would have been shipped to you.
So that was a lot of fun. We also, Doug and I had a chance to pull off something great. All of the pre-orders for Wii U in our city are sold out.
Oh my god, that was this week too.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, all like of them. So and I happened to go to Toys R Us last Friday for a Moonlight Madness sale.
Fuck.
And so I was buying my
3DS XL was on sale.
Jesus Christ! Everything we talked about on this podcast, wanting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Damn.
So, the way it works is, like, there's special sales that will happen at, like, 10 o'clock, and, me and my wife went there to buy a gift for our nephew. It was this Black & Decker, like, kid tool shack thing, and it didn't go on display till 8 o'clock. So, we got there at, like, 7, we went to the shelf, and there was nothing there.
The
and
hourly deals?
Yeah, we didn't know. We thought, like, we'll go there at 7, we'll grab
just
one.
Get the thing, yeah.
We'll put it in the cart, walk around for an hour.
So you had an hour to spend.
So we had an hour to spend. So,
shit.
So generally
sons
I...
Sons of bitches, Toys R Us.
So I went to... Yeah, yeah. So I go to the you know, electronics section, and I noticed some new Wii U branding and stickers and display cases all put up. And I'm like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, you know, our Nintendo rep came in on Friday, and we don't really know what we're doing yet. And I was like, whoa, wait, you guys aren't accepting pre-orders yet? And he says, no, there's nothing. We don't know. There's no SKU for it. We don't know what it's going for, blah, blah, blah. Try again next Friday. Like, she was here on Friday. I can't see her showing up again for a week. So sure enough, Monday, I fucking call. I didn't wait till Friday. I call on Monday, and the guy answers the phone, and I'm like, hey, I was just curious, you know, like, are you guys accepting Wii U pre-orders? And he says, yeah, for sure we are. And, you know, well, I asked him how many they had had. He says, yeah, we got one yesterday, and that's it. So I just left work and darted over there.
You're right there.
Yeah, I darted over there, and there was just this guy working who was just the typical, like,
oh my
wait,
God.
What is it? You know,
wait,
what?
We came out.
I'm going to have to ask my manager, you know, and it was like, fuck.
If I ran that place, man.
I'm like, what's happening? So, like, everything I asked them, I'm like, so I get the deluxe one. And he's like, yeah, there is two, and we're only pre-ordering the one. And I was just like, yeah, but I want to know that I have the second one. And he's like, hold on. And he calls his manager, and he's just like, yeah, okay. He's on the phone, and he turns around to me. He's like, yeah, so you're right. You can only pre-order two of them. And I was just like, so like, I'm like, okay, I will pre-order another one then. So I have number 2 and 3 pre-ordered at this place. I don't know if I'm even going to keep either of them at this point. Like, I'm selling them both for profit.
I woke up to your text message at like 10 a.m. that morning. Just, they're pre-ordering Wii U's at Toys R Us. I called you right away, got in the shower. You came to get me. I pre-ordered number 4.
Yeah.
So we're set to go.
Whoa, you've changed your mind now?
Like, I don't know. Well, my brilliant wife, we're talking about, I'm like, you know, there's nothing for me right now for that system, right? I'm going to buy 2, sell 1, hopefully mark it up enough to pay for the second console. And
oh, hey.
She's like, you really think you're going to get double for it? And I was like, I don't know. But even if we can get like close enough where it's only going to cost us $100, like, that's still good. And she's just like, you know, a week ago you told me you didn't even want this thing. Why don't you just sell both of them, and you'll have more than enough money to put aside for whenever you can get it again, and then we'll have more money that we can put towards our bills. And I was just like,
invest in Legos.
I was like,
yeah. Like, just don't open them.
Yeah, and I can't believe that I didn't even think of that. It's so obvious, but I was like, well played.
You know what you gotta do with Legos, life. Though? You gotta buy 2 sets. The one you build and keep, and the one you sell. Because I cannot have it sitting in my room unbuilt.
Yeah.
I just can't handle that.
I don't know.
I need to own it. Anyway.
I'm pretty much gonna sell... I think I'm gonna sell both of them. I really don't know.
If you... There's three Wii U's for sale right now. If you're interested, email...
podcast@allrangemode.ca or put it on our Facebook that you're interested in one of them. But we're going, you know what, like, you guys are all, you know, listeners or friends, we're going to try and screw, you know, fucking soccer moms and whoever else. Like, we're gonna,
we're Doug desperate and I, for a Wii U.
Yeah, we plan to scout out the lines.
At least,
like,
$700
in front of Best Buy. It's like,
I can't wait to join. Like, I'm not pre-ordering it, but I like was thinking of that. Like, I woke up one morning just, oh, that hunt of just, hey, come on.
Hey, buddy.
You don't have
to
wait in line for 2 days. Hey, buddy. Here it is, man.
Fast, easy, now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show them the fucking,
it's like,
trench coat.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they got the cash.
What you need? You get one of these?
Well, okay, so we've done some reconnaissance since. Yeah, reconnaissance since. Each EV Games has 50 pre-orders and a waiting list. Every Toys R Us in the United States is sold out of their pre-orders. I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be able to make a pretty penny off of these things.
You know that information of the Toys R Us in the States by the guy who doesn't know.
No,
there's a Wii Pro controller coming.
No. There's no SKU for a Wii Pro controller. The guy who didn't know there was a Wii Pro controller was at EB Games in the mall. And he had no idea what I was talking about.
Oh.
You remember that guy?
Yeah.
I can't.
His eyes were facing two different directions.
They don't have a manager who at least knows enough about games as we do.
Yeah, you have a fucking Nintendo rep coming in. That's like, again,
blows my mind.
Yeah, 15 years after we first started going into EB Games, they still don't know what the fuck they're talking about. It's ridiculous.
I call complete bullshit on every fucking game store. We should open a game store.
Yeah, right. Because it's such
a fucking game.
It's a viable.
So what we know about them, though, like...
Well, we do have a game store. It's our website. Anyone of my games, only be... anyone of you want to buy, email me.
Actually, I'm selling all my DVDs. I was actually going to talk to Dan about this, but I think we've lost Dan. But I was going to talk to Dan
suffering
about...
suffering a breakup.
Yeah. Like, donating. We should all donate our DVDs. And just try and get it in the paper. Like, hospitals. Like, the... Like, the hospital has, like, a you know, in the, what do you call it, the kids, like, area.
Okay.
Whenever a baby gets sick, you're spending days in the hospital, and they just have movies and movies and movies for the parents. I mean, I've been in the hospital, like, for 3 or 4 days at a time. Like, my
That's a good idea.
When my kids are sick. Mm. We just donate all of our DVDs. That's we feel good about it.
Nice whole idea.
And maybe get a spot in the paper. And,
I've got an entire box in my closet just full of DVDs.
Yeah.
I have multiples of Lord of the Rings, but I will never trade.
My Fellowship Blu-ray is on sale because I purchased my Fellowship Blu-ray. It came with my Blu-ray player, but today I purchased the extended
Fellowship on Blu-ray.
The extended trilogy.
The extended looks fucking amazing, by the way.
The extended is incredible.
The same thing they did with the original, like, DVD versions. They came out with the theatrical ones, then the extendeds for each one. I did that same thing. I bought the theatrical ones on Blu-ray, and then I bought the extendeds on Blu-ray. And the theatrical ones didn't even look that much better than the DVDs, but this past Friday, yesterday, I watched Fellowship for the first time with Mandy, the first time that she's seen it all the way through.
Nice.
And, nice. Yeah, like, she... It was awesome to watch it, like, from her perspective, because it was like watching it again for the first time, and then seeing it in Blu-ray was like, oh, fuck, I've never seen it like this before.
Did you...
It was amazing.
When I watched Fellowship with Shelby, I started to see the super nerdy parts.
Yeah, the Galadriel.
Galadriel, and who is, what is fucking...
Elrond?
Is it Elrond? When Liv Tyler is... Yeah, she's
you're telling me, Teddy.
She's got Frodo on the back of a horse, and they're galloping through grass plains, and like
Frodo, don't
all of a sudden,
in.
Yeah, all of a sudden, half of the screen is fucking Agent fucking Smith's face, just Kalum Lalam Kalas Kalambaska Kalam Golesko Nutsporkama. I was like, oh my god.
When you pointed that out, it made me like look at it more. I never even noticed it before. I was just like, true. Oh.
Me too. I was just like,
oh, it's Elvish magic kind of thing. That's what they do.
No, it's just Elvish magic.
Yeah. But when you watch it through the eyes of your girlfriend, you're like, oh my god, what the hell?
Yeah.
What am I showing her?
I did that last night. I watched A New Hope with Sarah.
Yeah.
We didn't watch the whole thing, but just like.
No, trust me, it's good.
Yeah.
No, just.
In A New Hope.
You know what, though? I was so happy after we went there. We're just like, okay, we'll go to bed. We'll watch it after. And we started downloading it. And the only pack I could find was a pack of all the movies. And she just switched them all to high priority. I was like, well, we're going to watch them all, right? It was like,
nice.
Yes.
Cool.
What were the scenes in A New Hope, though?
If I can say one thing, it's the lasers on that beginning scene in the ship.
Beginning just, scene?
I don't...
Oh, like, yeah. The introduction scene?
Mm-hmm.
I know that movie is like
obviously it's an old
when they're on the Death Star, there's banter between like Han, Leia, and Luke that's totally like 60s dialogue, just like, oh, get in there, see, I'm gonna come out here, blah blah blah, and like there's the back and forth between like, oh, what Leia's like, oh, it's amazing you could do anything at all with this blah blah blah, like this bag of bones, and it's just this weird 60s banter that like, or not 60s, but you know, the 70s banter, and the dialogue is just presented in such a way that's it is very, very old. Like it's a different, it was filmed in a different old time. Movies. Definitely. Yeah.
Still a great fucking movie.
So, transmission time. Do you guys remember what I was, talking, when I was talking about Prometheus, I had my theories about certain things. The origin of the Xenomorph, for instance. I was talking about how, like, I asked you guys if you thought that the genesis of the Xenomorph was, you know, from the test tube to Holloway to Shaw, which is Numi's character, and then she gives birth to a facehugger, and then the facehugger hugs the engineer, and then out of that is a Xenomorph. Mm-hmm. I brought that up, and Kyle and I listened to the writer commentary last night.
Oh, no.
And it was literally word for word Damon Lindelof saying...
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. It was just like justification. Like, yes! I was like, this is exactly what I was saying. And it, like, he literally goes through it word for word. You know, we wanted to give... Lindelof. Yeah, and he was like, you know, the... obviously, we wanted to make it so, like, you know, they're like the mother and father of the Xenomorph. And I couldn't... When he started saying that, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then he, yeah, word for word, went through, like, the metamorphosis of it. And I listened to the Ridley Scott commentary, like, almost right away, as soon as I watched it on Blu-ray. And there was no answered questions. Like, Ridley Scott was just like... The opening scene where he, you know, takes that solution and then decomposes. Ridley Scott's like... Is it Earth? Is it not Earth? I don't know. He doesn't even have an English accent, but he talks like that. He's like, is it Earth? Is it not Earth? I don't know. You know, it's up for a discussion, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the hell? You fucking directed the movie. Like, I need answers. That's why I'm watching the commentary.
Is it Earth? Is it not Earth?
Yeah. He's just, and every scene is like, he's like, it's up to you, really. And I was just like, fuck. But, you know, listening
so
to...
So, basically, he just put his name on this movie.
No, he had a lot to do with it. But I think some directors are into the fact... Like, look at Inception.
Yeah, that's
like,
probably, yeah, that's probably that's the true. Whole part of the question of the beginning of everything, though.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if it started on that other planet or if it started on Earth. That guy was on Earth. Or they launched one of those probes.
There was actually... And it crashed. That guy who drinks the potion, there was a scene of, like, with dialogue between him and other engineers. Like, a ceremony.
Oh!
And they were just like... Let's take it out. As soon
Why?
As they, because he said as soon as they start talking, they lose that mystery.
Whoa.
That's true. Whoa.
Yeah, and he's just like, and we wanted to keep that mystery. Whoa. So, and there was a scene where David talks to the engineer, and the engineer talks back.
You know what, though? They could have gotten around that by just doing a thing where they, like, can read each other's thoughts.
But just no, they just, that into the they just said, as soon as we know what the engineers are thinking... But then they're not mysterious anymore. And, like, that was a director point of view, which was fine.
I'm
but
sure there's, like, a way you could do it, though. Like,
there is a way.
Communication without actually communicating.
But the point
the
is...
The way that we know of it.
Okay, so he just says something. Like, he says something in a different tongue and then kills David?
Well, if they point at something.
Maybe, I don't know. But he was saying...
Kisala!
They took it out because it was... they took it out because it was... It took away the mystery of it.
Yeah.
So, and then... So Damon Lindelof is like... yeah, here the opening scene, you know, it's a lifeless Earth. At least that was the intention when we started writing it. And I was like, there it is. Mm-hmm. So what's the secrecy? Like,
cool.
The writer said it's Earth. I don't understand. Like, that's another reason why supplemental commentaries and stuff like that are so awesome, because it's completely justified.
Yeah.
And Kyle was saying, you know, it's like in any bright scientist, you know, of course the air is breathable, but you wouldn't take your helmet off because you could ingest disease, or there could be other things in the air that are going to be, like, destructive to you. And
oh, like
literally,
when they got
yeah,
the
and they're
plane.
Just like, oh, the air's breathable, and they all take off their helmets.
Oh yeah.
And literally, like, as soon as Kyle said that, Lindelof was just like, so obviously the scientists should not take their helmets off, but you know, we
holy
we,
shit,
yeah, and it's like we put that in the movie
thank
just
you,
because
David.
Like. Generally, people will take their masks off to emote and to, you know, to show signs, of, like, so they can act and things
like
that.
Mass Effect.
Yeah, and it's like, we need any excuse for these people to get into trouble. You know, like, why in horror movies do they keep going into the attic?
I guess that's true.
They know something's
wrong. On that planet, it was just,
yeah.
When's the trouble starting?
That's
show
and like,
me the trouble.
That's the
well,
thing.
Is like, that the first planet that humans have ever landed on outside of Earth? Like, they've...
No, they've landed on Mars.
Okay, so
there's some stories where they've been to Mars and all that stuff.
It's like, the okay. First planet, though, that
but you get
has
to this
potential
place,
to have other life.
Yeah,
like,
you get to
that's
this place
this
and you see, like, your forerunners kind of thing. Like, the people that have created you. Like, fuck this, I'm taking my helmet off. I'm out!
Yeah,
he's let me out. Smell
it. But it's just like, they have to, you know, like...
I do it, you're already that far.
Yeah. Or the fact that they walk right into the first discovered structure not built by a human being.
That's the one.
And they're just like, let's go inside. And it's like, the writer's just like, gotta move the story. That's all we're gonna do.
It does
move a lot. How long is that movie?
It's a couple hours. I don't know exactly how long it is.
Is it pushing three?
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
I was gonna say, because if it was, would warn.
The first 202. Right? The first script.
Oh, okay.
The first script was strictly an Alien prequel, and there was xenomorphs in it, and there was like facehuggers all around, and then Damon Lindelof was hired to rewrite it to make it more of a like an original thing, and like it's cool because both writers have a commentary track, but they were mixed in the same track. So when you're watching it, you'll hear the original writer saying like, you know, in the original screenplay, this is how it was, blah blah blah, and he'll explain it, and then like right away it'll be like. In the original screenplay, like it'll be Damon Lindelof saying, we had to change that because it didn't make any sense and we wanted to keep the mystery, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, how do you accept that somebody's just butchering your work? But obviously they're mutual advantage, right? I mean, they both have writing credits, so why not?
Yeah.
Doug, didn't you cut Damon Lindelof's hair or something like that? I remember
he writes for Lost.
You said there was someone from Lost.
Oh, you know what? I don't know who it was.
Was it a writer of Lost?
From what you told me, it was Damon Lindelof. It sounded like Damon Lindelof. He would go into like a high end like hair salon.
What did he look like?
Did he have glasses?
Could you point him out if we showed you a picture of him?
I don't remember. Oh honestly. My god! I want to tell you it was him, but it was just he lived in
find
California.
A picture of Damon Lindelof.
Dude, it was like 3 years ago.
Pick somebody out of a line.
Possibly. Okay, show me the two.
All right.
So you guys work on it.
We wanted to do this.
Really have any hair. But,
I don't think it was that
you
guy.
You didn't cut his hair?
Carlton Hughes.
It was probably the other guy.
Carlton Hughes.
He just told me he was a writer for Lost.
Well, I'm sure they have tables and tables of writers.
Could have been a who is he.
Was he old?
I don't remember.
Okay, this is him. This is him. You cut his hair. Congratulations, Doug.
It was him.
You are half famous because of this. Open up.
Did you cut his hair?
Possibly.
That's whose hair you cut?
I don't know.
Doug cut Carlton Cuse's hair.
Didn't you also cut What a Girl Wants chick?
I cut Amanda. Well, I colored Amanda Bynes' hair.
Amanda Bynes?
Yeah.
Really?
And the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A businessman?
He was like, I'm a coach. I was like, a coach of what? He was like, you know the Toronto Maple Leafs? I was like, yeah. He was just like, I'm the coach. I was like, oh, cool. He was like, yeah, I'm from the States, but I live in Toronto now.
Remember we saw the mayor? And we made fun of him? We're in Kensington Market, and you know how Kensington Market is.
Like Rob Ford or Dave Miller, the old
I don't the fucking fat guy.
Because it was businessman.
No, he was a guy in a suit. We're like, oh, businessman! And he was walking away, and then there was like a crowd of people out front of this cookie shack or whatever the hell it was. And they're like, this cookie shack's been here for 20 odd years, and it's just like,
he's about to retire.
And they're like, did you see the mayor? And we're like, that was the mayor. We couldn't believe it.
Businessman.
The first guy in a suit. We're like, oh, how are you, businessman? Hello there, businessman. You should not have come to our part of the town. Anyway, that was my Bane impersonation. So
I like it.
What else? What else do we have for movies? I rearranged my DVD and Blu-ray collection on my shelf, which was pretty exciting. I was happy to do that.
Is that what got you into the idea of getting rid of all your DVDs?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, actually, I already made $40 from selling DVDs, and I used that $40 to buy fucking extended edition Blu-rays.
Did you sell them to?
Who gave you
$40? Kijiji. We put them up. We're like $3 a piece. You know, 8 for $20, and people were just like, I want these 8, and they would, I mean, that's a great deal. 8 DVDs for $20?
Caseless?
No, they're in cases. I had to fucking go to my attic and get all the cases out of my attic.
Where'd you get those cases from? Because you had them all in the binder for a while.
Hey, man, the attic.
Just let me see the cash, here's your disc, get the fuck out.
There's all sorts of, there's all sorts of treasures up there. You guys, of course, can have, you know, pickings out of those. I have Dick Tracy on DVD, are you interested in that?
Pickings, huh?
I'll just download it.
That's the thing.
Fuck you. I have the DVD I can just hand to you. Also,
okay, remember when you were contemplating not but 2 weeks ago buying Fanboys on DVD and you held that box? You shake this box.
Okay.
And there's nothing in it at all. There's no advantage to owning this DVD.
Oh, it's just a sleeve with
it. It was lighter than any DVD case or Blu-ray case I'd ever held.
They had covered it in plastic shrink wrap, right? Like they do every DVD. And because of that, it had like caused the case to cave in. Yeah. So it was kind of boring on the
front case had concave. And like, it was just like, it must have been those recycled DVD cases, the disc, and that's it.
Honestly, if they were giving those out for free, I wouldn't have taken one. No, thank you.
It felt really bad.
I don't want this piece of garbage.
It was $7.
That's a lot.
That's too much.
That's way too much.
If I gave you one, you wouldn't even care. Cool. It'd sit in your car for
it two would. Minutes. It'd be under my seat and be like, oh yeah, shit.
Oh yeah, the fanboys Doug gave me one
I still
one
don't
time.
Want to watch this. I'll just leave it there. I wanted to say something about Lord of the Rings and watching the trilogy again.
Okay.
Yesterday, we watched Fellowship, my girlfriend and I. Today, we watched The Two Towers. And she loved them both. Where I've built it up so much over our relationship. We've almost been dating for a year. I built it up so much that she was, like, scared to watch it because, like...
If she didn't like it, she knew what would happen.
Yeah, like, if you don't like this, like, we...
Yeah,
we
might, I was the same way.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
not that.
I'm not saying it wouldn't go that much, but...
Obviously, yeah.
But, so, just watching it, she was, like... She finished The Fellowship, and she was just, like... Saying all the things that I said the first time. Like I want to go live in those forests. Like, it's so beautiful. And but watching The Two Towers the following day, instead of when we first seen The Fellowship, there was a year of anticipation.
Oh,
365 days of...
Just next.
Yeah, of just waiting for the trailer. Like, oh my god, there's a new TV spot. Like buying the midnight release tickets and stuff like that. And picking up on all those little subtle jokes from how many times we've seen The Fellowship. Like... nobody tosses a dwarf kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was just so much more to it than that.
Do you think that the only good ending in that trilogy is the ending of Fellowship?
No.
I love Return of the King.
The Return of the King ending is the best ending.
Really?
Yeah, man, because...
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
The movie ends like 100 times.
Oh, when it shows...
It has to end each different story. Okay. In Two Towers, there's four different storylines, or three... Going on simultaneously.
Fellowship's awesome because it's like
it's all in one
place.
Of those
three movies, the happiest part of that whole trilogy is the first 40 minutes of that movie, right? And then at the end of Return of the King, you get about 10 minutes of that kind of Shire vibe with the song and like the Shire lighting
and the war scene.
And like, the war scene.
There's multiple war scenes that are all amazing.
Okay, well, if we. What counts as the end? Like, the end, the ending, like, the entire third act, or just the ending? Like, the conclusion, you know?
You've got
the rising action, and then, like, the peak, and then, or the sort of climax.
I think the ending of every storyline.
I don't know.
Like
they
all go back to Hobbiton, and they're drinking again, and Frodo's just like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right.
What did you like so much about the Fellowship ending?
I like the fact that it was like everything that you have learned so far is turned on its side at the end of that movie.
My favorite thing about it was
like
when Aragorn's talking to Gimli and Legolas and he's like, we won't abandon our friends to torment and death.
Yeah, not even that, but like, you know, you've got that point where Merry and Pip are like, this way Frodo, and he's just like, I can't go with you. And the whole saga is broken right then and there. Like, and it's just like, they go off in their own, like, in all separate directions.
Okay. And but you're like, bringing in the other movies like, into that.
No, but no. The anticipation coming out of that is like, yes, I'm ready to see where this is going to go. And, like, the ending of Two Towers was very, like, end scene. There was, like... I don't know. The water rushed into what would you call that?
Isengard.
The water rushed into Isengard, and there's that weird banter between Frodo and Sam at the end of the second movie that no, no, Mr. Frodo. Like, we must go on. And it's like, okay, but when the next movie starts, we're still just picking up where we left off. There's nothing new for me moving forward.
That is true about the end of Two Towers, but...
Which is understandable, because... When I saw the end of the Fellowship,
I was really confused, to be honest with you. I thought that the only thing I had absolute faith in was the Aragorn was going after them with Gimli and Legolas. I mean, yeah, it did split them all apart, and having seen the other movies going back, that makes it awesome.
The Two Towers?
But when that ended and the other movies weren't out yet, I felt kind of weird about it. Wasn't my favorite ending.
The Two Towers ending?
No, the Fellowship ending.
Oh, okay.
I also think the...
I have a moronic confession to make about the Fellowship. When I first seen it, I knew nothing of Lord of the Rings. It was on accident that, like, we went to go see it, and... we were in a mall in the States, and Tim and I went to go see it, and I was just like, oh, that was great. Like, I thought that was the end. Like, that was it.
Oh.
That was the entire thing. I was like, that was a fucking amazing movie. It's like, that's kind of a cool ending. I wish there was more. And Tim's like, there's two more movies. Like, yes! Just so excited. Yeah, I had no idea.
Wow.
And The Two Towers is a perfect middle movie. The story kind of carries on. It bookends.
Like, I feel like you're kind of... Because, like, Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So, it's different from Empire.
I'm not comparing the two either.
But if you take it in the way of, like, there were three movies, and the way Empire kind of did things was a lot different than the way Two Towers did things with Lord of the Rings. Because Fellowship was such a strong movie to come out with that they didn't... I don't know. Two Towers was a good middle movie... That it's just like, you're not going to go see it just because it's out by itself. I feel like a lot of people can just see Empire Strikes Back.
The Two Towers is amazing.
Fairy doesn't die, right?
Faramir?
Yeah.
No.
He doesn't die.
Him and Eowyn get together.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I don't know. I don't know what I felt about that ending, but the...
It was really unsettling. Like, the music they play and the, Gollum kind of... leading you in, like, oh, what if...
That
what
was
if
cool.
She, like, would he get hurt? And, it was unsettling. Like, oh, I don't... Where are we going?
Yeah, I suppose so. Like, I forgot about the Gollum scene at the end where he flips.
This way, hobbits.
Yeah. I don't know. There was something about it that... No, it wasn't as strong as the Fellowship ending, I don't think. And I really would have liked it. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong, but I really would have liked it if the Return of the King ending was a little bit more subtle. If they didn't wrap it up so neatly.
I would have hated that.
I would have also hated
They could have...
Don't you
think it could have ended with them lying on the cliffs of Mordor?
No. That would have fucking sucked.
Dude, that would have sucked because you have the first 40 minutes of Shire scene in the Fellowship.
But the story,
them go back there.
They're lying on the side of the cliff, and you see that bird come like picking them up, and everything's going to be fine. That's the end of the movie.
Oh my god, that'd have been the most upsetting fucking thing of my entire life.
I feel like that's a good movie ending, but if that was
the ending, then you would have been fine with it.
We would have hated the ending.
What?
They ruined it! Lord of the Rings, they ruined it!
They don't go back to Hobbiton, and it's like, yeah, of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
How would you know that?
Yeah, because that's what characters do at the end of the movies. They go back...
And we saw it. Are you saying
this for the sake of argument?
No, I really think I was like, I was so happy when like there was that still shot almost like it was in slow motion and
I thought it was lying there and I was like, no fucking way, don't do
lying on the end of the cliff, and it was just like, this is a good ending.
The thing is that
they destroyed the ring. They did it. That's it. That's the end.
That to me was a very movie ending, like a movie script ending. That was it. Like, you see this in movies all the time where you have this feeling that's just unfulfilled, like, it ended, and then
so
you
when
just
you
kinda
saw...
guess what happens next, but he went every step of the way to cater to every fan of the series and end it how I loved
that's
it
true.
I loved it. I consider myself probably one of the biggest fans, and
there's tons of shit that's missing from those movies that weren't like that the fans didn't like?
Those true fans can suck me feaky billies.
All I'm saying is...
movies, man.
I didn't... Okay, well... The ending of Fellowship...
You know that book, fans?
The ending of Fellowship is really, really, really strong, I thought. And I don't know. I mean, you know, the Star Wars movies, Jedi had the worst ending, kind of. Maybe I'm wrong there. They all had pretty good endings.
Episode 1 had the best.
Episode 1 and Episode 4 had the same ending. They were all just... It was a celebration, like the good guys won.
Return of the Jedi had the same ending. African Chan at the end.
Yeah, Return of the Jedi. You know what? African Chan. The only one that had African Chan was
Jedi had African Chan. All the Ewoks.
Well, that was
Episode 1.
And then the Star Wars theme comes in.
African Chant. African Chant.
Episode 1's been the best.
Yeah.
The best Star
Wars. Peace!
Oh my god.
Episode 1's the best.
Can I ask you both if I can side quest for here for just a minute? Do you guys know who Darth Plagueis is?
Clone Wars character?
He's not in Clone Wars.
Darth Plagueis, wait. Is he the one who in episode 3, Emperor Palpatine is talking to Anakin about him?
About Darth Plagueis.
Yeah. About how he was able to bring back his loved ones.
Palpatine's master.
Yeah. How he was able to resurrect his loved ones from the dead. He was such a powerful
creator. Create life.
Yeah.
Do you guys know the significance of that? Like, he was
able, I only know about it from that scene.
Yeah, well, okay. But like, Darth Plagueis the Wise, right? He was so powerful with the dark side that he was able to create life. And in episode 1, there's that one scene where Qui-Gon's like, who was his father? And she's like, I can't explain what happened. There was no father.
Oh, don't do it.
Oh, I'm going to play.
That is how,
holy shit.
That is how subtle those fucking movies are. And like, I was going to bring it up earlier, like, all the...
that's fucking
the
awesome.
The apologies.
I have goosebumps right
now. I do too.
I have all goosebumps right now.
All the apologies that like George Lucas makes, it's like, whoa, what happened here? What happened there? And if you listen to the commentary or like anybody talk, like who's spoken with George Lucas, he's just like, if you asked him any of those questions, he would blow your mind. Like there was a Seth Green is making that he's making a Star Wars cartoon,
yeah,
and he uses the like writing meetings because George Lucas is there sitting with him like approving everything and shit like that. So they pretty much they're just like us. They use those meetings to just fucking grind George Lucas, and they're like, okay, so what the fuck, Metachlorians? What are you talking about? And they try and poke holes in it, and Lucas will just be like, well, what do you know about biology? And he'll just go on for like a half an hour and like explain these things. And it's like, it's not in the movie because we had to keep pacing. And it's like, I became a super fan because I had investigated and I had found like all those, like,
that's awesome.
That's kind of why I'm like going into like all the supplemental material. And it's like, I've become an apologist because I've done the investigating. I'm like, well, no, you got to understand this, but none of that is in the movies. And I know I sidetracked a little bit about that. I said it would only take a couple minutes, but Darth Plagueis, and his book just came out. The book about Darth Plagueis.
Really?
So I just wanted to mention that real quick.
That's cool.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
No, that was the most interesting thing I've heard.
Darth Plagueis. Yeah, he talks about it just for an instant. He was able to create life. And like how, of course, Anakin's path was doomed from the start.
All the time.
Hey, I really want to see that... Is it 7 psychopaths?
Yeah, my brother wants to see that. I had very little interest in it, but
I seen a trailer for it and it looked fucking hilarious.
I love Sam Rockwell. I like Christopher Walken. I mean, who else is in it?
Some other one. Oh, Woody Harrelson.
He's okay.
He's good as the psycho because he's fucking crazy. I watched season 3. I don't know if it's episode 5, maybe, of Community.
Oh yeah,
with John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman's huge in season 3,
and he's calling Troy in like, "You need to come in to join me."
Oh my god,
to join the air conditioner men.
Yeah,
that's cool. Sad day. They took Community off Canadian Netflix.
What?
No, really?
Scott. Why? I don't give a shit. I download it.
My friends, it's gone.
Who cares about Canadian Netflix?
I do.
Yeah, because
you download it.
You do watch it.
Because I want to watch it on Netflix. I don't want to wait for it.
I don't have the ability.
I had a hard goddamn day. I want to turn on a Community episode. And I don't want to have to download them all.
See, you know, you're not as old as I am. I've grown a little bit. I know.
I'm sorry. Let me hear your 2 years of fucking wisdom.
Okay, well, 2 years ago, I started fucking preemptively downloading the shit that I would
I'm
want.
Too lazy for that.
Well, 2 years from now, you'll be talking about how awesome it was.
Because holy shit.
Probably we're screaming at
so
a man's wife is his life.
Let's move on to games.
We're talking about games today on the show. We're talking about it because they're all we know. We hope you will join us. You'll be entertained because we fucking love video games.
So, what's what kind of went on? I mean, other than the
the Halo 4 hype is building. It is bigger than it's ever been. I can't fucking wait.
My Lego the trailers Lord of the that Rings hype is at an all-time high.
Lego Lord of the Rings.
It comes out the soonest, October 30th.
You should get it on fucking Xbox. We have to play co-op.
Get it. Buy a PlayStation.
I'm not buying PlayStation. Sucks ass. I want. Actually, I don't even care about Chivos. I just...
It's the best system.
And Wii U, I messaged you guys this week.
I didn't get that joke.
They're not even supporting, like, video or chat. Yeah, like, yeah. Some games will support it, but you're going to have to buy a... you're going to have to find something that works with
the
controller.
Can you do FaceTime chat on the controller?
Doesn't work. Because you're going to be using it
as... No, that's wrong.
It doesn't work. While you're playing a game?
No, yeah. That works like as often as... like it works as often as developers want to like use it. But nope. Most of the time... Nope.
I know for a fact it's not going to work. They're going to stream video chat and the game at the same time?
No, it's that is all for like when you're not using the... when you're not in the middle of a game. But,
yeah, but like cross-game chat, like for games Call of Duty?
Too. Yeah.
Party chat? You're going to be playing with the Pro Controller? The Pro Controller doesn't have a port to plug a headset into.
But the gamepad does.
The gamepad does, so you're going to have to sit the gamepad to your right with your fucking headphones plugged into it while you're playing on the Pro Controller.
So what?
That's a pain in the ass.
It's the exact same thing.
Okay. Okay.
You got something plugged
in. We'll see how many times you guys play a fucking game together.
What's the difference? You still have to plug a headset into a controller.
Directly into the controller that you're playing with. You don't have to turn on this other thing that you have to worry about and then stream whatever's going on.
I see your point with that.
And it's just a pain in the ass. It's an extra pain in the ass that you don't care about. And what about when we used to sit in the... actually, never mind.
No, but it's the exact same thing. You have to plug your headset into a controller and then play the game.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
It's in the controller that you're plugging into.
Yeah, but the gamepad is always going to be part of the games you play. You're never not going to be using the gamepad.
So you're
going to
be playing Battlefield.
Okay.
And in the middle of a game, you're going to be playing on the Pro Controller. You're going to have the gamepad in front of you with your headphones plugged into it, looking at the TV, the gamepad, and your controller, trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
What do you mean? You don't look at your controller to see what's going on. You look down at your buttons and your toggles.
No. Okay.
So I just don't see the difference. I don't see the difference in it being plugged into
it's
a
different suck.
I've got something to say. I'm officially announcing my retirement from all shooter games. I'm not playing a Battlefield. I'm playing a Call of Duty.
Call of Duty?
Call of Duty.
What the hell?
Call of Duty 6.
I will probably play Halo, but I'm not going to buy it.
You don't have an Xbox.
Well, so, I got Kyle's. I live with Kyle. Like,
and Kyle's selling his fucking Xbox, so you're never going to play.
No, like...
They don't do it for me anymore.
Honestly...
I mean, they do, but I get so much more out of a raid or something, you know?
Yeah, I really only want
to... If I really want to play online games with you guys, I'll just call you on the telephone and keep my phone on my shoulder while we're playing the game together. I mean, what's wrong with that?
I used to play Final Fantasy XI.
Over the phone?
Over the phone. I would call Kyle. and we would just, I would hold it on my shoulder. We'd play Final Fantasy XI for hours. Just,
oh, and hey, and the
where are you? Meet me in that city.
The chat, like the headset. There's no Nintendo headset.
Ooh, there will be.
So you're gonna have to buy like, you're gonna have to use like the iPhone ones, the ones like the headphones with the little.
No, the Turtle Beach one is officially licensed.
Or you buy something else.
Well, you buy
and with the Pro Controller that you already have to pay more for.
What? You don't have to buy.
You have to buy the Pro Controller. You have to buy the gamepad. Or no, the gamepad comes with it. You have to buy the system, Pro Controller, Turtle Beach headset.
You don't have to buy the Pro Controller.
It doesn't come with it.
You can still play games with the gamepad.
Yeah, but if you want to play like Call of Duty or something like that, if anybody wants to play competitively with Call of
Duty. What is the difference? You're just taking the buttons on the side of the gamepad and pushing them closer together.
It's all right here.
It's the same thing.
Like, okay.
It's this,
so
let's say
Major League Gaming, like MLG, no one's going to be sitting there with a gamepad playing. I guarantee you no one will do that. I don't even follow that shit.
I mean, I guess that's yet to be seen, but yeah, I don't care about Call of Duty bros.
Yeah, those suck anyways. But I'm just saying that, like, they're trying to sell to that market, so why not cater to that market by making it easy for them?
If Xbox was releasing the exact same product, I think you'd be singing a different song.
Probably. Because they do it better.
Well, I don't know, man.
Because everything would work.
I just don't understand.
They don't even have cross-game chat, and it's coming out fucking 8 years after 360 came out, which had that immediately as a feature.
What's cross-game chat?
You could be playing Braid, I could be playing Halo, and we could still have a party and talk, and Doug could be playing something else. And
no, that exists.
No, it doesn't.
It's all on the OS.
It's not even in PS3.
I don't know.
That's remained to be seen.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we'll see it.
Like, I don't know. Maybe we don't even take advantage of that as much as we do on Xbox, but...
Yeah, you guys don't even answer my shit if you're playing a different game.
If we're in a conversation...
If I'm playing Lego Star Wars, you guys are not connecting with me.
That's because I'm playing Skyrim. I don't want to talk to anybody.
I'll say it again. I can't wait for Lego Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for it.
I'm glad my
interest in games is diminishing in certain things. Like, for PlayStation Plus members this week, get a free beta of
Dust?
No, Battle Royale, PlayStation, ugh. Super Smash Brothers. I just didn't even.
We should try that.
We could do it right now.
I'm interested
after
in trying that.
We could play it right now.
Yeah, I want to play that.
None of you seem that excited.
No, I want to play
just
it.
Like, I'll play it.
I want to see what it's like.
Okay, we can do it. But I'm just saying, like.
It's another thing.
I see failure, but yeah. I'd like to look past that.
Let's try it.
It's another thing. Picture a new Smash Brothers game.
Yeah.
I gotta have that thing. I gotta have it.
Mama gonna need it.
Mama gonna need.
Mama gonna need.
Mama gonna need.
Mama gonna need.
Hey, mama gonna need. Mama gonna need.
Did you guys play any new games?
No, I haven't played a game in 2 weeks.
I played Bit Trip Runner on my computer.
Oh, I played Metal Gear Solid 4 for like 2 hours.
Did you guys play any new games?
No.
No.
The answer is no. Dishonored came out. Dan played it.
The answer is no. Dan bought it. He's dead.
Yeah, Dan's gone.
Man. Dan bought it and he's dead.
He bought it on the way home. He's died.
I know the company that's porting over Mass Effect said that they had one. They had an original title that they were releasing on Wii U, and they had another Square Enix port, like a AAA Square Enix port that they were also releasing. So AAA Square Enix games that are in development right now, like you've got in the past Deus Ex that came out recently. You've got Hitman Absolution, Tomb Raider, and Final Fantasy 13. So one of those four games is essentially been confirmed, like back end confirmed, right? I hope to God it's Hitman.
Have they said
when?
Because
I'm so excited. They said early 2013.
Oh, nice.
So that leads me to believe it's Tomb Raider because Tomb Raider's actual release is early 2013. I'm hoping that it's Hitman Absolution because
that would be really cool.
It would be a dream come true.
If
it was Final Fantasy, that's probably the best for Nintendo.
My hope is it's the Final Fantasy X HD remake. That's been in development for a long time, and recently they've started talking about it again.
I'm willing to bet money it isn't that, but that if
I well, could... it's a AAA title from Square Enix. I mean, how many options do you have?
Yeah, Final Fantasy hasn't gone over so well for them this gen, though.
It seems like it's a system seller.
Because they make shitty games.
You know, I want... It's in my best interest for more people to buy Nintendo, because that's one that I'm for sure going to own, and I want all the best games coming out on that, right? So, like, that's kind of what I'm going for. Even I don't care if they're exclusives or ports or anything like that. I just want the most bang for my buck. I want all to be... it all to be kind of encapsulated. One thing
they,
I noticed...
they have to come out day and date for something like that to actually make it profitable for the company to make the game. Like, Hitman's going to be coming out November 20th on 360 and PS3 and PC. And then if it comes out like 3 or 4 months later on Wii U, it's losing out on a huge audience. Because probably the people that are already getting a Wii U have an Xbox. And if they want to play that, they're going to play it on Xbox. But like... in the future, those games have to come out.
Well, I have an Xbox.
And make it better, like the Better with Kinect kind of thing that Xbox has branded, which is fucking bullshit. Should be Worse with Kinect.
Worse with Kinect.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? I forget what. I think it was CAGcast. They were making fun of the fact that developers, they don't even have the interest enough to give it a proper title. It's just Dragon Ball. For Kinect. Star Wars for Kinect.
Oh.
It's like, we're not even going to hire someone from marketing to think of a name or a title for this game. Xbox is, or Microsoft is giving us hundreds of thousands of dollars to put Kinect in the title.
That's
so. That's it. Okay, remember, I brought this up a week ago. PlayStation.
I don't know
Microsoft,
why I'm faithful, man.
PlayStation, Microsoft, and Nintendo. What good decisions has any of those companies made in the last 3 years?
Nothing.
Valve makes the best decisions.
What?
Hands down. There's a guy in my class in school that made a presentation on VR, like virtual reality, and Valve and id Software, the people that make like Doom and Rage and shit.
And shit.
They came out with this thing. It's a virtual reality headset that has two screens.
Okay.
Projecting the image to your eyes, and you move your head, and you're looking inside the game world, and they're very close to your head. They fit just like right up to your eyes. Two separate screens, two different images. You see 3D. As you turn your head, you're looking around.
That sounds horrible.
They're $300, and they're already being sold to developers, and they're being put inside like Valve's next games and id's next.
The guys who made Red vs. Blue have a podcast. It's the Rooster Teeth podcast. They were talking about how there's like a bleep of latency when you move your head. The screen won't move for like
in that headset. They said it was 1-to-1. Like the people that played it were just like, this is fucking crazy.
But even the slightest tiny bit of latency or like impracticality, like your brain would just start to just dissect itself. Like,
that's the
this
thing
isn't
too.
Moving fast enough. Like, your eyes are literally like trained to be moving at 60 frames or whatever we see. If there's a glitch at all in that frame rate, like your brain will start to disorient, and you'll get a just like watching 3D movies.
That's what happened. Like people were saying that as a side effect. Like after they use this thing, like you'd be looking around and you'd start out staring straight.
Side effects
straight
are ahead. Vomiting, head trauma.
Well, like they had people standing around, the users,
yeah,
like to catch them as they disoriented themselves. They'd be playing Doom and like look down at the ground, but then they'd be looking straight as they're looking at the ground in real life.
Yeah,
and they'd turn.
How can anyone play that then? If that's going to happen,
I don't know.
You have to sit down, just like.
You know what? I'm fine with my games just being on a TV with a controller in my hands.
I would love that.
Me too. I don't need more.
Could you imagine putting that headset on though? $300. You plug that in, you just play games.
So you're still using a controller and you're
They still use the controller. They just like they do look around, but they help like with strafing and stuff.
So
like
it's
that.
Essentially that's your right analog stick.
Yeah.
Just your head
looking around is your right analog. I don't know.
I wouldn't like that.
It's I'd like to try it, but
I would love that.
Love
you,
my dude, game.
Because you don't plug, you don't look around with your
into
head.
The Matrix.
You look around with your eyes.
You just put
though.
That thing on and you just you're in. Imagine that fucking immersion. You don't see like your toilet next to you. You don't see your fucking your mouth.
Okay,
or,
but
like,
unless
the
game, unless the game knows your eye movement, like I shake my head
you,
like
you look. It doesn't know your eye movement.
Exactly, but I don't turn if I want to look to my my fucking right left. Sorry, my left. If I want to look to my exact left, I don't move my head 90 degrees.
Yeah.
My head moves probably 20 degrees, and I do the
rest
that's of
my that's the thing. Like they don't render it, so it's an actual...
What's that, Doug?
Listen.
Chad?
Right.
They don't render it, so it's an actual, like it fits the screen. You know how, like, this film has been modified to fit your screen? It fits to something bigger. Like, it renders the entire image like to like 98 degrees or something like that, so you almost see like your full 180 degree peripheral or something like that.
If
it renders that entire thing, so when you're looking, you're actually seeing all the way around.
If I've learned anything as an early adopter to Nintendo Wii and to an avid gamer for the last 10 years, it's that motion controls are shit. And nothing involved with motion works at all.
Even if they don't even do motion and they just render it to look like that.
So you just put a mask on and then play with the controller?
Yeah, instead of paying so much money for a TV screen, instead of having, like, oh, my wife wants to watch TV so I can play on the gamepad, you put these fucking headsets on.
Have you seen, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but have you seen the proof of concept Zombie U trailer?
No.
I want you to watch that. If we watch that, I think you might say, like, this is pretty cool. Like, there's one particular moment. It's all about being tense and anxious during the gameplay. And there's, like, on the TV screen, it's just, like, a character, it's first person, and they're watching a door, and there's just pounding on the door, and you can see the gamepad is your inventory, and you're like, fuck. And you're, like, putting bullets into your gun, and, like, the screen shows the guns going in.
That's
but
so awesome.
There's just, like, there's somebody pounding on the door, you're like, shit, and you're trying to work on the gamepad. Somebody bursts in, you're like, fuck, and you equip the weapon, start shooting. And another scene is, like, he runs up to, like, a number lock, and the actual number lock is on the gamepad.
I did see this.
The actual number lock is on the gamepad. So you're, like,
trying to remember
like,
it
beep, 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 beep,
you...
like, and on the screen, like, as soon as you hit the number lock, it turns to... like over the shoulder, but from over the
okay, so
facing back, so you can see zombies like coming at you and looking at you. And you're like, fuck! You look up at the screen, like they're getting closer. And you're just like, fuck that! Oh my god! And you're like looking down at the screen, trying to figure out the combination while you can kind of see what's going on the screen, like people coming up behind you. I don't know. I think it might. It's I don't want to go full on. Immersion. I want it to kind of work in fun little ways, and I'm hoping that's what happens. I mean, yes. I couldn't see any practical use for the Wii Remote, and you know, obviously, we all know how big of a fucking mistake that was. But I think it's going to be pretty fun. You know, my goal is to sell both of these Wii U's and then wait for E3 2013,
yeah,
and then make a judgment call then and there.
What you see?
It's my wrap it up signal.
So we're not quite sure how long we've gone today.
Well, we don't know. It's an hour and 10 minutes.
Right? We're at 34 minutes. Oh, good. Well, that's a typical episode.
That's pretty good.
So today was an example of an episode that had zero planning, and you know, I mean, we just got into some shit. We got into some stuff. Is there anything else that anybody wants to talk about before we head out?
Buy Halo 4, buy Wii U, buy Lego Star Wars.
Buy
Lego
Legos,
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Talk to me about Legos. Email me anytime about Legos.
Yeah, you want to know the price on something in the street? You got to hook up.
Yeah, I mean...
If you're out in the street and you need a price...
If you just want to hang out...
It's open forum here. If you guys got any ideas of kind of what you want us to get into, then... you know, let us know and we'll invite you out.
Stefano's been the closest so far in the contest.
We're going to announce the winner of that contest
next week, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll announce on the next show and then we'll have the beer and pizza.
Just give it a shot.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot.
Yeah. Episode 7.
No one gets closer than Fano.
You know what? If you guess three guesses, I think you might be ahead of Fano because he didn't even guess all three. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he guessed that two and then said he didn't know the other one. So it's like whether those, you know, who knows if they're correct or incorrect. You know, your guess is as good as his. So
you got 66.6%.
Take him up.
Yeah, take him down. Take him down. Prove that you're fucking nerdier than Fano DeLuca.
All range mode.
You'll be prepared for it or rewarded.
Once again, podcast at allrangemode.ca. We are on iTunes, and you can check our Facebook, facebook.com/allrangemodepodcast.
Yeah, sure.
What is it?
On Facebook, search All Range Mode.
Yeah, search All Range Mode. Look for four assholes drinking beer.
Thanks,
on the
guys.
Cover.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
All Range Mode!
What is she gonna do? Shoe salesman at a centipede farm?
Doug just put about a foot and a half.
Oh, I did not put a foot and a half.
It was a foot and a half.
This is what I'm saying to you.
You're closing it as we speak.
Okay, it's going smaller. To me. My.